Our next speaker is Wayne Hollis from Epidemiology and Program Evaluation, Riverside County Department of Public Health, Riverside, California. Mr. Hollis will address crossing county agency administrative borders and using GIS to effectively target high-risk diverse for a REED abatement program.
Is anybody here from Riverside County?
Nice to see you.
I am going to be doing things a little bit unorthodox. I have notes to read off of in addition to my memory about this stuff. So I'm going to put this down here. That is the title. And the reason why this is such a long title is because it's just a really long story, and I'll shorten it. It'll be 15 minutes long, I promise. But essentially, this is the first time that the health department used parcel level data in any of its health determinant outcome analysis. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to reach out to an entirely different agency that houses spatial data, and that would be our land management agency, our assessor's office. And so this is a story on how that happened. It's more of a story of how to do it, actually. I have some samples of what we used. As directed, I have a slide here telling everyone I have no affiliation and no relationships to disclose. Essentially, I'm going to just go briefly to why we wanted to do this, and more of a methods issue about what we wanted to do, why we, what we actually did, and how it turned out. I'm going to go real fast to the first three bullets so we can look at lots of pictures. Instead of giving you a literature review, I wanted to show you the literature that I used. One of the key issues, the CDC decided to make two things, like the focus of our lead programs, and one is to switch from a mitigative kind of approach, going out and fixing known houses where there have been a verified lead exposure, to preventing the lead exposure. So that was the one issue that we wanted to sort of tackle, and the other issue was to prevent the lead exposure to begin with, and the other issue was to actually identify the people at risk, not just the dwellings, but look at how could we find people. So we came up with a model, and it was pretty simple. We wanted to use parcel level data, and we needed people, and so we went to the WIC organization. It's the Women, Infant, and Children. The director's here, actually, Gail Hoxter. Thank you for showing up. It's awesome to see you. So we went to the WIC organization and said, can we use WIC data to geocode and come with a sort of a probability of where children live and what is the likelihood that a child lives in a house that was built before 1955? And so she said, yes, but you need to de-identify the data, so you can't use point data. So we said that sounds fair. So this is sort of a story of how that happened. The two outputs that we really wanted, we wanted a list to send to our lead group. Here's a bunch of dwellings that the likelihood that a child lives there is high, and it was born before 1955. And if you want, here's a bunch of property characteristics about that property. Here's the situs address. Here's the owner's address if it's a rental unit. Type of dwelling is it? Is it an apartment? Is it a house? And that kind of stuff. So we wanted that as an output. We also wanted to give back to WIC a list of their participants that we have identified live in high-risk dwellings so they could follow up. Because a national study showed that although it is a requirement for federally funded participants in federally funded organizations to have lead screening, actually, only about 20% of the participants do have lead screening. So it is a big issue. All of the studies have shown, the CDC have shown, that the prevalence of elevated blood lead levels is higher in the WIC population than in the non-WIC population. So it was also sort of a data-driven decision of why we used WIC. Okay, I wrote a letter and had everybody sign it, and it went over to the assessor's office, said, please let us use your data, and this is why. And if anybody's interested, they can download this presentation and basically copy this as a generic part. It's actually built in the need here. This is kind of why we used WIC. The eligibility of WIC is fantastic. It's 0 to 5. That's the population that's greatest at risk for negative elevated blood lead level exposure. And all of the data has shown that is strongly elevated blood lead level exposure negatively has been shown to correspond and correlate with low socioeconomic status. So this was a perfect capture of both those features. It was overwhelming. I had no idea that parcel data was so robust. We got a data dictionary that was about 100 pages long. It had, among many other variables, it had year of construction, the type of dwelling, owner address, situs address, so everything was there. I'm only looking at Western Riverside County kind of at the moment, just because it's essentially overwhelming to look at the entire county. I'll tell you, one of the limitations that we came across is there's missing data. So a lot of the much older dwellings don't have the actual year of construction, so it shows up as a 00 or a 999, or it's just blank. So I actually threw that out. I didn't know how to deal with that. The other issue, so I dealt only with those that had a verified address before 1955, and that was about 35,000, almost 36,000 parcels. Okay, I had a really successful time geocoding and matching the WIC data, which is no surprise because everybody on WIC comes in personally and there's income verification, there's documentation, so it's no surprise that they actually have a really good solid address. Okay, so this is what it looks like, but this is what I can't use. So you can actually geocode the WIC data and I can tell you where a child lives, but this is not something that I could send over to the LED program and they could use. So we have two issues here to address. One is confidentiality and one is coincident data points. Each point shows up on the map as one dot, but if they live in an apartment building, you know, it could show up, because I'm pretty far out in this extent, it could show up as one dot, but it could represent multiple people. Okay, so just by using the dots, it's useless. So this is what it looked like when I looked at the parcel data. I identified the parcels that were pre-1955. So that's just a plat map with the parcels that I know for sure were born. There's a dwelling on there built before 1955. We can start to see some areas already that are worthy of some investigation. Here, and some that are not so worthy of some intervention or possible contact. So just by looking at the dots, it's somewhat informative, but not as much as we would like. Density would be really helpful. So how do we do this? We take a bunch of dots and we do something called a point density analysis, and that is we just take a count. We define a cell, and that's, I used 500 by 500 feet because I wanted to be rather specific and be able to identify groups of parcels that were at risk, or at least groups of parcels where the probability was very high that a child lived. So I used 500 by 500 feet and I did a point density analysis and a spatial statistics tool and ArcView. I don't know if you use that software, but for those of you who do, that's familiar. If anybody wants to talk to me about point density after, that's fine too. But I won't get into it too much. So this is what the point data and the raster cell density data look like when you put the two together. And so you can see totally different patterns. You can see that it's clear that this area right here, although it looks like only one or two, maybe three dots, you know, this is some type of congregate housing. This is where a lot of kids live, and you would not know that by just looking at the points. So this is how we mask point data. So this I could certainly give to the LED program, and I could use this in my analysis because this is not an identified individual. This is masked data. We also have solved the issue with the coincident points by using the density analysis. So this really helped. So then I put the two together, and I got a pretty clear picture of those areas, at least. And mind you, I'm only looking, you can't really tell this because I haven't really showed you how we got here, but this is a one little tiny area of Corona, California. So I have this gigantic Western Riverside County thing that looks just like this. And so I can tell that in just this area, we've got these set of parcels that were created before 1955. And because I'm dealing with parcel data and human beings here, I always say the dwelling was born. So it's just a little mental thing I got going here. But the individuals are 0 to 5, high likelihood that they live in one of these. And we know for sure it was built before 1955. So we can isolate these by using a selection tool, which is another tool in the ESRI catalog of tools. And we can select these parcels out, and I can output that in a table. And it'll give me what parcels they are. And I can link that to the property characteristic tables that was in, you know, that I got with the data that I got from the assessor's office. And I can tell you everything about those parcels. And we can have very clear mailing addresses, not just the residents, but the owners, because as our LEED program found out, it's very difficult to get any type of inroads with the actual occupants because they don't own the place. A lot of places are rented, so we have to go through the owners, and a lot of times they're corporate owners. So that's why it's very important, and they have, you know, legal teams. So it's very important that we get this right. So this is our selection tool, and this is how we actually get data out. What we can do in a more sophisticated level is we could actually drill in, and I can underlay some aerial photography so we could look at the built environment in a particular area, and then we could put streets in so that people want to actually go out and do home visits and could give this right to the LEED program. They can get in their cars and drive right there and start knocking on doors. And this is out of 35,000 parcels to begin with, we have narrowed it down to about 500 parcels that are both built before 1955 and are in a very high risk or high probability that there's a child either living in the dwelling or living near the dwelling, which is also an issue because we aren't really just only concerned with the inhabitants of the dwelling, but it's the neighborhood. So that concludes my presentation. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Dr. Feldman. That is part two of the analysis. We actually stay tuned because I hope to be back next year with the actual geocoding of the results of our lead tests. So to see, we're going to validate this and see if this actually rings true. So I hope you come back. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, lots of data. Probably 40,000 parcels. Yeah, that was missing, and I don't know how many of those were actually built before 1955. They just didn't have any type of valid data in that field. Yeah. And I actually had lots of talks with the land management agency to see, you know, if they have another proxy to that, and they said just the neighborhood. So I could do some type of neighborhood analysis and do a raster just like that and do a neighborhood, the nearest neighbor kind of tool and say, look, if it's near another one that was we know to be built before 1955 and it's blank, go ahead and include it. I could do that. But we decided not to. It's too hard. Okay, thank you very much.